Welcome to From the Chair with the Most Reverend Frederick F. Campbell, Bishop of the Diocese of Columbus. From the Chair is a series created by Bishop Campbell in cooperation with St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, so that he might directly speak with his flock to address questions about living the Catholic faith. In this series, Bishop Campbell hopes to present many subjects, including life in the Church, spiritual growth, our responsibility as Christians, and our individual vocation to holiness. From the Chair is intended to encourage our prayer life, to draw us deeper into a relationship with God, and to announce the good news of Jesus Christ. And now, Bishop Frederick Campbell.
My dear friends, during this octave week of Christmas, in which we extend our celebration of the Christmas feast over 8 full days, you may be interested in the saints' days that are always celebrated in this week between Easter and the feast of Mary, the Mother of God, on January the 1st. Because the feast days are placed here to allow us to understand a particular aspect of Christmas. And today we celebrate here on the 27th of December the feast of St. John the Evangelist, whom I call the Apostle of the Incarnation. Whereas when we celebrate the feast of St. Stephen, we celebrate, in fact, the extraordinary example of the discipleship of St. Stephen, realizing that in order to become part of the kingdom that Christ has inaugurated, you become Christ himself in our own particular time. And in fact, in the life of Stephen, the life of Christ seems to have been repeated, even in his suffering and in his death and his giving his blood for the name of Christ. But for St. John the Evangelist, the only apostle who apparently simply died in old age, is not celebrated as a martyr, we find an individual who wants to penetrate as deeply as possible into the mystery of the Incarnation, and that extraordinary fact that in Jesus Christ, God became one of us, taking on our human flesh. The God who created all things allowed his Son to become subject to creation. And we find this extraordinary insistence in two places in the work of St. John the Evangelist. The first is in his gospel, often received as the most theologically deep of all the gospels. And the gospel begins with a little prologue that outlines the meaning and the purpose and the thrust of the rest of the gospel. But also in the first letter of John, there is an insistence repeated again and again on the actual real enfleshment of God in Jesus Christ among us, and what that will mean for the way that we live and the way that we hope and treat others. And in fact, St. John is the first to unite very closely the meaning of the Incarnation and the presence of Christ in his body and blood in the Holy Eucharist. That in that Holy Eucharist, in that surprising an extraordinary way, a physical presence of Christ remains to focus us, to give us consolation, to allow us to continue on our journey. And we look at John the Evangelist's work in his support of the Incarnation, and we have to realize that the first thing the Incarnation draws us to is to ask, what does it say about God? The God who, as I said, was the creator of all that exists. The God who is omnipotent, all-powerful, omniscient, all-knowing. The God who is the very root and source of our being is a God whose first attribute, before he is all-powerful, before he is all-knowing, his first attribute is God is love. He has so profound a concern and love for his creation that he shows this creation, this desire for his people by becoming one of them. And this overwhelming act of love should at first just create a kind of awed silence. For it takes a while to understand the meaning of this love and what it will mean for our lives. The second question that the Feast of the Incarnation arises for us is, what does it say about Jesus Christ? And we look at the prologue to St. John's Gospel, and there are certain reoccurring words that come out of that prologue that tell us some profound things about the understanding and the meaning and the reality of Jesus Christ. When I was a seminarian, I took a course on the Gospel of John, and in that course, throughout the 15 weeks that we dedicated to the study, we got through the prologue. But the professor said, if you understand this prologue, you will understand the rest of the gospel. And what does John record in that gospel? He begins, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And in Jesus Christ, the Word of God made flesh, we have, John says, life and light. That is, we cannot live life as the gift of God that it is without being enlightened, without being able to shine the presence of God's life upon our life, showing us how to live it. We are told by John that through him, through Christ, the world came to exist. That through Christ, the very creative impulse and the creative reality of God it was made manifest. And that gift is given through Christ. He is the Word made flesh. He appeared among us. He lived as we all live, with the very important exception of sin. And when he was made flesh, he promised that he would continue to be with us even after his glorious ascension into heaven. And St. John tells us the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And that word dwelt is a very curious word in the prologue of John, because it's a very Hebraic word that has been Grecicized. It actually means not only dwelling, but tented among us. Tented as God tented among the people of Israel in their journey through the desert. And in fact, in Latin, that word for tent was translated tabernacle. That Christ being made flesh tabernacled among us. And how that should immediately direct our attention to the way, in fact, Christ is with us presently in his Holy Eucharist. And as that Holy Eucharist is preserved within the tabernacle, that God still tents among his people, still dwells with us. And that Christ has given us grace, charis. Grace meaning a gift freely given, something that is unmerited, but given as a gift, but a gift that has to be opened and a gift that empowers us. From the Greek word charis, we get our word charism, or charismatic. And in that grace, that charis, we are touched by the truth that will allow us authentically to live our life. And so if John raises the question about what does the incarnation say about God, and then what does it say about Jesus Christ, we also have to ask, what does it say about the human person? Who are we? Why are we here? Where are we going? And following John's gospel and his first letter, the early Christians, so ecstatic about the meaning of the incarnation, so hungry for the meaning that it showers upon our life, began to talk about the Christian life as theopoiesis, that is, being made like God. That our life as disciples and the character of our pilgrimage, our journey to God, is a process of being drawn in to the very divinity of Christ. Just as he participated in our human life, he wishes our human life to participate in his divine life. We are called to be God-like, that is, to be immersed in the divinity revealed through the humanity of Jesus Christ. And this whole process of theopoiesis, of being made like God through the grace of Jesus Christ, but realizing that in Jesus Christ, in fact, God and man were united. We are called then to act in this world as true sons and daughters of Christmas, in a sense, as an embodiment of the Christ whom we hail as Savior and King, to allow what we say, what we do, how we work, for what we hope, our sense of the future, to be a manifestation of that call to be like God, and through Jesus Christ to attain the very heavenly reality that was first revealed in Jesus. The gift of Christmas is a gift of a profound renewal and transformation of all of human life. And in the joy that we celebrate at Christmas, a joy that if we put it simply in material realities or the joy, the momentary joy of good fellowship, and we forget the gift that is given to us, that joy often fades rather quickly. But the gift of Christ at Christmas is the gift that will extend into eternity. And to realize that we are called to become what Christ revealed in his humanity, sons and daughters of God, manifesting the reality of the divine presence and hungering for its fulfillment in heaven.
You have been listening to From the Chair with the Most Reverend Frederick F. Campbell, Bishop of the Diocese of Columbus. From the Chair is a series created by Bishop Campbell in cooperation with St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, so that he might directly speak with his flock to address questions about living the Catholic faith. Join us each Tuesday at 5 p.m. for From the Chair with Bishop Frederick F. Campbell.